In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
A couple of weeks ago, I was watching a programme about prehistoric sites in Britain. The most famous of these is, of course, Stonehenge, where nowadays so-called Druids and New Age devotees gather on Midsummer's Day to watch the sunrise. At that moment, the sun's rays line up with certain stones in the circle. But this programme showed that in December, on the shortest day, the rays of the setting sun also line up. And the same thing happens at Newgrange in Ireland, probably one of the most ancient of these prehistoric sites. The suggestion is that Stonehenge, Newgrange, and the rest were in fact places of the dead. Apart from showing up the hollow, superficial nature of today's New Age movements, these places tell us that our ancestors were actually onto something. The symbolism of the last dying rays of light falling on that sacred spot must have been very powerful, as was the darkness that followed immediately afterwards. But from that moment on, the time of greatest darkness, the days start to grow. Unlike the modern fake celebrations at Midsummer, which mark a slide into darkness, these ancient celebrations were heralding the certainty that darkness gives way to light. By now you're probably thinking, well, this is all very well, but what's it got to do with Jesus, the gospel, and the Christian hope? Well, when St. Patrick went to convert the Irish, he knew that God is everywhere and in all people. And he knew that somehow through the Celtic mists, they had vague glimpses of God, who, in the words of the letter to the Hebrews, spoke to our ancestors in many and varied ways. The symbolic importance given to the dying of the light, followed by its gradual reappearance, surely is not so far removed from the resurrection, from the events of Good Friday and Easter. As St. Patrick said to his pagan listeners, we believe in and adore the true sun, that's S-U-N, Zonne, Grian in Irish. We adore the true sun, Jesus Christ, who will never die, nor will anyone die who has done his will. And we heard similar words from the lips of Jesus in today's reading from St. John's Gospel. The darkness, as the last rays of the sun disappear, or the darkness which fell on Good Friday, show us that death is a reality. Things, seasons, lives come to an end. That is a fact of creation. But it is followed by a new creation. The light starts to get stronger. Little by little, it is true. And doesn't that just feel like a bereavement? Or resurrection. It's interesting that in the Book of Kells, the early Irish illustrated book of the Gospels, there is no picture of the resurrection. There are wonderful illustrations of everything else, but no picture of the resurrection. Only the word una in the centre of the page in large letters. Una, one, denoting the first day of the week. A new beginning, a new creation. Because what the Bible is telling us is that in some mysterious way, which we cannot possibly imagine, God will create a new heaven and a new earth. In this new creation, all that is good about this present world, all its love and beauty, will be taken up and transformed. In fact, I believe not only the good, but also the broken bits, our failings and setbacks, will also be transformed, redeemed, and become building blocks for this new creation. And in Jesus, this new creation has already happened. In the resurrection, it became reality. Soon I will invite you to come forward and light a candle in memory of a loved one, taking the light from the Easter candle. As we take that light, we are placing our loved ones within the mystery and power of Christ's resurrection. We are offering our love for them, a love which springs from the one great source, God's eternal creative love, which connects us all, living and departed. And as we each light our candle, the light grows, little by little, darkness gives way to light. Amen.